Let's read together Leviticus chapter 26, verses 34 through 46. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have the predicted results of what would happen if Israel rebelled and turned away from the Lord, and then also what would happen if Israel would repent and turn back to the Lord. Let's begin by reading verses 34 through 39. Leviticus chapter 26, beginning with verse 34. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest, for the time it did not rest on your Sabbaths when you dwelt in it. And as for those of you who are left, I will send faintness or fear into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another, as it were before a sword, when no one pursues, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up, and those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. Also in their fathers' iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away. Let's begin our study of this second half of Leviticus chapter 26 with some background notes. In the first half of this chapter, we had a listing of the blessings and cursings of the Mosaic Covenant. In verses 1 through 13, we had the blessings if the people would follow the Lord and keep the Mosaic Covenant. And in verses 14 through 33, we had the cursings or punishments if the people turned away from the Lord and broke the Mosaic Covenant. Notice again how often the if clause is used in this section concerning the curses of the law. Verse 14, but if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments. Verse 15, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments. Verse 18, and after all this, if you do not obey me. Verse 21, then if you walk contrary to me. Verse 23, and if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you. And verse 27, and after all this, if you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury, and I will chastise you seven times for your sins. Now we know the rest of the story, don't we? Israel did not keep the covenant, but turned away from the Lord and suffered all of these punishments. Even though there were periodic revivals, they were essentially short-lived and limited in effect. Now, we mentioned in our last talk that the repeated phrase of seven times in this listing of punishments is not to be interpreted as seven literal stages of punishment for Israel, but is rather a figurative expression meaning complete or full punishment. However, the seven times may also prophetically foreshadow the tribulation period of the future, which is the final 7 years of the times of the Gentiles. This seven-year tribulation period is called the time of Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Look at the verses once again where this term seven times is used. Verse 18. Verse 21, verse 24, and verse 28. So we believe the term seven times is not just figurative, but a prophetic implication of the future tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble. In any event, in this listing of the cursings or punishments, we have essentially a history of the Jewish people. And notice in the verses that we just read that much of what is predicted has been true of Israel down through their history, even to this present hour. Now, the good news here is threefold. Number one, all of this is evidence of the inspiration and reliability of the Bible. It has all come true already, even aside from the prophetic implications. Number two, the punishments included the defeat and scattering of Israel, but not the complete destruction of Israel. not the complete destruction of the Jewish people. The Jewish people still exist today around the world, scattered among the nations, but not destroyed. What a miracle. And number three, there will be a restoration of Israel in the future, as we will see in the last part of this chapter. And that brings us to our doctrinal points for this talk. So doctrinal point number one, Israel would be removed from the land if they rebelled. Israel would be removed from the land if they rebelled. We see in verse 34, one of the main reasons why Israel would be removed from their land and scattered amongst the nations. Let's read verses 33 through 35 once again. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbaths as long as it lies desolate and you are in your enemy's land. And the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbaths. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest. For the time it did not rest on your Sabbaths when you dwelt in it. So we see in verse 34 that one of the main reasons why Israel would be removed from their land and scattered amongst the nations is because they did not practice the Sabbath year under the Mosaic covenant. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 36 the fulfillment of this prediction. I'm reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verses 20 and 21. And those who escaped from the sword, he, that is Nebuchadnezzar, carried away to Babylon, where they became servants to him and his sons until the rule of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. As long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. We know that after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, a number of the Jews returned to the land of Israel, but many remained scattered. In fact, after Israel rejected her Messiah, the nation was ended by the Roman conquest, and the Jews were further scattered and have remained scattered until recent times. Thus, the prediction here that Israel would be scattered and persecuted is the history of the Jewish people from then to now. Think of how the Jews have been persecuted down through the years. They've had to fear for their lives as anti-Semitism has raised its ugly head in all the nations where the Jewish people have tried to settle. Verses 36 through 39 once again. And as for those of you who are left, I will send faintness or fear into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another, as it were before a sword, when no one pursues. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. All that has been predicted in these verses concerning the Jewish people has come true. Israel would be removed from the land if they rebelled. And now comes the good news in our second doctrinal point. Israel would be restored to the Lord if they repented. Israel would be restored to the Lord if they repented. Verses 40 through 46. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humble and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember. I will remember the land. The land also shall be left empty by them and will enjoy its Sabbaths while it lies desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they despise my judgments and because their soul abhorred my statutes. Yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenant with them. For I am the Lord their God. But for their sake, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, whom I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Here in this last section of the chapter, we see the grace of God for sure. In spite of the fact that Israel turned away from the Lord and rebelled and broke the Mosaic covenant, God in his grace promised that he would restore them if they would repent and turn back to him. And notice from these verses that if they repented, they would be restored to the land as part of their restoration to the Lord. The end of verse 42, I will remember the land. But you say, I thought the Mosaic covenant was conditional and ended with the coming of Christ, as Romans 10:4 says. Christ is the end of the law. True, but the covenant being referred to here in verses 42 through 45 is not the Mosaic covenant, but the Abrahamic covenant, which was unconditional. Verse 42 once again, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember the land. The fact that the Abrahamic covenant is referred to here is significant. And Romans chapter 11 assures us that not only will Israel be restored if they return to the Lord, but as a nation they will return to the Lord in the future. See Romans chapter 11 in this connection. Right now, Israel is only temporarily set aside while the church is being built. The return of Israel to the land as a nation in modern times is only the beginning of what's to come in the future. So much so that we could change the wording of our second doctrinal point to Israel will be restored to the Lord when they repent. And that brings us to our practical application for the second half of Leviticus chapter 26. Be consistent with the covenants. Be consistent with the covenants. You know, some Christians love to pick and choose from the biblical covenants and apply the blessings to themselves, but they don't apply the cursings. The prosperity gospel preachers tend to do this. They claim health and wealth if you follow the Lord and have enough faith based on these Old Testament covenant promises. Well, what about the curses and punishments of the covenants, such as what we have here concerning the Mosaic law? Disease and plague and defeat and loss of home and land if you don't follow the Lord and don't have enough faith. That's ignored. So they are inconsistent in their interpretation and application of the biblical covenants. The way to be consistent with the biblical covenants is to first of all see when the covenant was made, with whom the covenant was made, and for how long was the covenant made. Was it a conditional covenant or an unconditional covenant? These Old Testament covenants that we've discussed were not made with the church, but with the nation of Israel. To be consistent with the biblical covenants, we should only claim and apply the promises in these covenants if the promises are also repeated or expanded upon in the New Testament for the church under the law of Christ. Be consistent with the covenants.